Hello, it's Joanna M.
And Jessa Glassman, and welcome back to the Purpose Beyond Ourselves podcast. We are here with Zoe Nicholson.
She's a massive proponent of the Equal Rights Amendment, or the ERA, founding organization supporting its passage nationwide. She's a long-term feminist and LGBTQ plus activist, founded a women's bookstore, has been featured in many films, and so much more. So with that, let's get started with the interview.
Okay, so our first question is, can you tell us a bit about your background? How did you get into activism and become who you are today?
Well, I was born into a very strict Roman Catholic household, wealthy and highly entitled. It's all I knew, except that I was only allowed to read books that had imprimaturs from the Roman Catholic Church. And so it all sort of backfired because the books I was attracted to were Lives of the Saints. And it didn't take long for me, even at five, to figure out that the moral thing to do was always help the poor. And that all the saints that I really admired, that's what their lives were about, helping the poor. And then my Girl Scout leader in grade school was a Democrat. And she taught us about what boycotts are and about the farm workers. They were not yet United Farm Workers. But I remember telling my mother that we weren't going to buy grapes and lettuce anymore. And she said, why? And I said, well, because the farm workers are not being fairly paid. I was eight. And she said, where do you get this stuff? And I said, oh, well, from the Girl Scouts. I have never seen the world as my immediate family did and does see the world. And it, mostly until I was really 25, it's extraordinary to believe that, I studied liberation theology. I studied Mahatma Gandhi and James Gutierrez, what was going on with the poor in Latin America. And then to sort of wrap it up and get to this time in my life, in graduate school, a fellow student, a gentleman, said, Zoe, you're so into this liberation stuff, I think you ought to try the women's movement. I brought you a present, and he handed me a copy of The Dialectics of Sex by Shulamith Firestone, and that was it. So at 25, I took everything I know about liberation and applied it to the advancement of women and girls. So that's sort of how all that happened.
And we know that sort of with that activism, you are a big proponent of the Equal Rights Amendment. And
yes.
So can you explain for our viewers what, or for our listeners, what really that is and why you think it is a valuable piece of legislation?
Sure. The viewers, that sort of threw me. I'm just teasing you. God forbid that somebody be watching what's going on right now. As I'm pacing back and forth in my kitchen, equality of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex. It was written in 1923 by a Quaker woman named Alice Paul. She got three law degrees to prepare herself for writing it. It was presented to Congress many, many times in two different forms, and it was approved by the House of Congress to go out to the states in 72. What it says is that the protections that are written in the United States Constitution would not differentiate between the sexes. Now, granted, we're almost at 2020 here, death to the binary. We know all how much we would rather have the word gender. We know absolutely we want everyone included, and men and women is hopefully an archaic and dusty idea. Mm-hmm. However, it matches perfectly the 19th Amendment, and it is the language of the Constitution to actually use the word sex. So that's what it is, and I'll take it any way I can get it, mm-hmm. the amendment to the Constitution. So here's what happened when Abigail said to John Adams, don't forget the women. He didn't forget the women when they wrote the Constitution. They intentionally wrote a document that only applied to white men. The entire United States Constitution, the Bill of Rights, only applied to white men. And it left men of color and women at a citizenship that was less. So women couldn't own land. They couldn't get a credit card. They couldn't get a divorce. They couldn't have custody of their children. They could not have equal rights under the law. So we have been working now, at least in my generation, and now in yours, because in your lifetime, both of you young ladies, it makes me want to jump through the roof with joy that in your lifetime, you are going to have full constitutional equality. And I did not believe that maybe 4 years ago. And to give you a little bit of an idea how serious I am about it, I offered to die for it. I went to Illinois in 1982 in mid-May and began a 40-day fast on water only, sat in the Illinois Rotunda hoping that Illinois would ratify in 1982. And there were seven of us, and none of us knew if we were going to live or die through it. We didn't know that at the start. Some of us were sicker than others. All of us, our lives were changed. Radical activists always, their lives completely change after they do something stunning, something life-changing like that. And I have to say it changed me. Even though I was 34, which I imagine to you sounds middle-aged, but today, if somebody asks me, if someone questions me, in what I do today, when I work for the housekeepers, when I work for the rights of the port workers, when I stand with the poor and stand up in city council, talk about rent control, possibly a moratorium on evictions around Christmas so we don't send people out in the streets. I stand up and speak on behalf of the homeless because I have access to be able to speak. If anyone doubts my sincerity, it doesn't really register with me, because once you offer to die for something, you know you're a serious participant in social justice. So the Equal Rights Amendment, we have just ratified last Tuesday. I can hardly believe it. The 38th state, the final requirement. Just turned blue. And because 51 members of the assembly there are Democrats, they will be voting to ratify the Equal Rights Amendment in January. I hope to be there. And then the final step, so we all can be included in the Constitution, is to declare the deadline unconstitutional. You might find it interesting that in 25 amendments to the Constitution, the men's amendments never had a deadline, but the woman's amendment had a deadline. That deadline is how, it's one of the tools of the patriarchy. It's like, there's no limit term limit on murder, but there is on rape. There's no funding to process rape kits. So the crime can face a time limit, and the perpetrator of the crime could not be arrested and taken to trial. So we have to watch how time is used against the poor, against people of color, and against women. But the white man made sure that what they do doesn't have a time limit.
Okay. I actually wanted to ask you, I guess, following up on a lot of things that you said, can you kind of expand on the experience that you had, for example, in the political fast, and these, very radical kind of acts of social justice?
Yes, there's a certain kind of human being. I've met a few. I probably have more access to them than most people do because we recognize each other. There simply is a certain kind of person that has something called divine discontent. And you can actually Google it. It's kind of fun. And you'll find that Elizabeth Cady Stanton, Alice Paul, W.E.B. Du Bois, Martin Luther King, Tutu, some real big names, I'm using names that hopefully you recognize, mm-hmm. suffer from something called divine discontent. And the poets call it that we just can't let it go. We wake up every morning and whatever injustice there is, we just don't get over it. Some people just get over it. You could be in a classroom of 40 kids taking social studies, and maybe 30 of them, you know, really, they're good students, but they really aren't engaged. Another 5 will be engaged, but they won't carry it on their whole life. But there'll be one in that classroom who simply cannot let it go. And that's a real social justice activist. And going to Illinois, to tell you the truth, I was living in Newport Beach, and I thought, well, probably 700 people will be there doing this. And then as I was actually traveling, I thought, well, okay, 70. Be reasonable, Zoe, 70. And when I got there, it was 7. Mm-hmm. And that was when I learned how rare this is. That people like Bree Newsom, who climbed a flagpole to take down the Confederate flag, you know, there are things that radical people do, real diehard social justice activists that are so exquisite, so scary, but they are so determined. You know, people have no idea who Rosa Parks is. They think she's a maid who sat down on a bus because her feet were tired. It just makes me want to freak out. The woman trained for months and was a social justice activist. She knew exactly what she was doing. She knew, and people knew that she was doing it. When you plan to get arrested or you plan to do something radical, you're going to take a gigantic chance. As I did when I heckled presidents. Heckling presidents is, a really hard thing to do, I don't mind saying. Mm. That you make sure people know you're going to do it. And you make sure that the law, when the law intervenes, there's going to be somebody to bail you out, help you out, to pick up the pieces of your life. And even the fast, I wrote my diary that I wrote during the fast called The Hungry Heart. I thought I'd publish the whole unedited diary of those days, those 40 days. And there was a man arrested with 7 knives with our names carved in each of them. I had a man put cigars out on my arm as he walked past me going to the elevator. It was... People don't want change, and women and men, or I should have said men and some women, don't want full equal rights for women. It threatens the status quo. And imagine if black women were paid the same as white men. I mean, the world would implode, right? Mm.
So I guess sort of along with that, I saw a statistic before sort of the ERA was at the stage that it currently is at that said that roughly, like, I believe the number was around 80% of Americans actually believed that clause
that
already
passed.
Yeah, oh, that yes, it had already passed.
That has not changed at all. Yes, of course, that's actually correct. At least 80%. I would think 87%. And I can actually tell you why. I mean, there is a significant reason why people think this. Because they don't understand how an amendment to the United States Constitution works. It goes to a committee, a judiciary committee. It's heard in committee. If it passes out of committee in Congress, it goes up to the floor. It goes to the floor. If they vote yes, it goes out to the states. And at the time, it goes out to the states, just like suffrage. So many states have to say yes, and then it becomes law. So that happened with suffrage. And 36 states at the time were required. That was the required number to get the vote. And everybody knows the story that Harry Byrne voted yes because his mother sent him a telegram. And in Tennessee, Tennessee was the perfect 36, the final state. And so many years later, 70 or so years later, Congress did the identical thing with the ERA. It went to the judiciary, introduced by Ted Kennedy. It went up to the floor, and it passed in Congress. And what they did is it's a different use of the verb to pass. They passed it out to the states. They didn't actually pass it and it become law. It's not like DACA. Mm-hmm. It's not like they pass a bill for wages like the Lilly Ledbetter Act. It's that they, it's an amendment, and I think what happened, I mean, if the headline in the paper in the LA Times, New York Times says, Congress passes ERA, it should read, passes it to the states for ratification.
Right.
And the last state to ratify it before the deadline occurred was Indiana. They passed it in 1977. The deadline was 82, June 30th, 82. So we did not have enough. We only had 35. And then a new groundswell came along regarding the ERA. And in 2017, Nevada passed. 2018, Illinois passed. And next January, Virginia will become the 38th and the final state. But what we have to do at that point, as I said, we have to get rid of the deadline. We're going to have to go through the courts. Actually, Wednesday morning, as in 2 days, It's so topical for your listeners.
Yeah.
This Wednesday, yes, the impeachment hearings are beginning. But in addition, Jerry Nadler is going to introduce House Joint Resolution, HJ 79, that will call for the declaration that the deadline on the Equal Rights Amendment is unconstitutional. And as soon as we get that ruled on, and when Virginia votes, then every single person, no matter what gender they are, every single American will be equal under the law, and it will change more than you have no idea what it will change. I've been studying this for 40 years. It will change everything. The people who are so afraid of it, I understand. Imagine that Native American people would get paid the same amount as white people. Imagine that insurance would not be able to charge so much more for women than men. The pink tax, I don't know if you even know what the pink tax is, but if you take your white shirt and a man's white shirt to the cleaner, the woman's white shirt, same number of buttons, costs more.
Mm-hmm.
A woman's haircut costs, I don't know, $75. And a man's haircut can go and get a haircut for 30. And we're talking privileged people here. We're not talking supercuts. The pink tax, women have been paying more for everything while we're earning less. Equality of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex. Everything will change. I really hope I live to see it happen.
Okay, that was really powerful. We would like to know if you have one piece of advice that you would like to share with our audience before we close up.
I've spent most of my life, my degrees are in religion. I have a master's degree from USC, and I have a bachelor's degree from Quincy University. My bachelor's degree is in Roman Catholic theology. My graduate degree is in religion. We're all talking about the wonder of change. That's what's happening. Those radical activists get out there and shake up the social agreement, and they're very rare. Not everybody is one. It's not the Women's March. It's not 20 million people walking down the street for climate. It's Greta. It's Emma. Moms Demand raised a whole lot of money, and they're going to actually get gun legislation passed, you're right. But the person that actually changed everything is Emma Gonzalez and David Hogg. I spend all day, every day, searching for how change occurs. That's what I want to know. And the question is, why on earth would I be so obsessed about something like that? And it's because I believe, it is my faith that leads me to know that God is a verb, that God is actually change. God is what makes the garden grow and makes winter turn into spring.
I think that is about everything. Thank you so much for agreeing to be interviewed.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yes, of course. You know, I knew Miss Parker, Miss Joni Parker, and Martha Wheelock is one of my closest friends, if not my closest friend. I hear about Harvard Westlake all the time. And so I was really pleased that you contacted me. Feel free to scrape any stories or pictures off of my websites. You know, I work really hard on spreading the idea that going forward is the best thing there is. It's so exciting. It's so wonderful. And I want to congratulate both of you that you're going to be in the Constitution. It's going to be a really different life for you and unthinkable for your daughters.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of our podcast, Purpose Beyond Ourselves. We are so glad that we had the chance to talk with Ms. Nicholson and hope you learned as much as we did from her political and social experiences.
We hope you can join us again for our next episode and check out some of the other podcasts on the Chronicle Podcast Network. Thank you.